Well-dressed thieves walked into Bond Street jewelry store in London, England. After waving handguns around at shop workers, they made off with $73 million worth of gems. Security camera footage released by Scotland Yard showed two men in crisp suits entering Gaff Diamond's flag store. The men stole dozens of expensive rings, bracelets, and watches worth £40 million or $73 million Canadian. They fired two shots in the ground of warning before escaping using a series of getaway cars. No one was hurt. What's interesting is that the two men didn't even try and disguise who they were. I wonder how many people grow up thinking, the purpose of my life is to be a thief. Someone who steals and tries to take advantage from others to the benefit of themselves. I wonder what these men's parents thought when they saw their sons on national TV. God has a plan, a destiny for each one of us, a purpose for our existence, and it only makes sense as we connect and join our lives with His. Let's pray. God, we're not always sure about the direction we're headed in. Are we on the right path? Are we honoring You by how we live? This day, we want to give back the reins of our lives to You. Come give us the grace, strength, and wisdom we need to partner with You in day-to-day life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is going to come out of John 15, verse 1 to 11. Ernie, with his speed, he's ahead of me, is up there ready. I'm going to read it to you. You can follow along. John 15, 1. I'm the true vine, and my Father's the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch that withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown to the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We're in the season of Lent, leading us to Easter, where we've been preparing our hearts to allow the Holy Spirit to bring life and lasting changes within us. In these 40 days, we've been walking through Jesus' statement about who He really is in the Gospel of John. So far, we've looked at, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the gate of the sheep. And today in John 15, I am the vine. In the chapter just prior, in John chapter 14, Jesus explained to His disciples that His time remaining on earth is short. He's about to depart from them, but He will not abandon them. He will send them an advocate, a person that comes alongside to support. The Holy Spirit will teach them everything and remind them of what Jesus had said to them. Then Jesus encourages them not to let their hearts be troubled. He leaves His peace with them. In John chapter 15, Jesus begins by using another I am phrase. There are actually 14 I am sayings found in the New Testament, with 12 of them being in the Gospel of John. These sayings were to help Jesus' listeners understand that He was the Messiah by using common everyday images. But the question these I am statements always leave us with is, what do we do with this truth? How does what Jesus says about Himself impact how we live our day-to-day lives? So as we walk through today's text, we'd be wise to look for the invitation that God is giving to us personally and corporately. John 15:1-6. We're encouraged to learn to live what it means to be connected to God. Jesus starts out in verse 1 using a common agriculture metaphor, saying, "I'm the true vine, and the Father is the vine grower." He continues in verse 2, "He, being the Father, removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit." For anyone who works in gardens, this imagery is a common one. Every fall, I go to my raspberry plantation, and I use clippers, and I cut off all the old dead branches, and then I prune back or cut back the plants so they don't put their energy next year into growing bigger but producing more fruit. Verse 3 says, "You've already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you." The NLT says it like this: "You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you." Jesus draws us in, moving seamlessly from the physical world to the spiritual one. His disciples go from understanding garden principles to being the ones the shear snips are cutting into. I'm not sure that any of us are crazy about being pruned spiritually, but God does this to keep us on track in being able to fulfill what he's created us to be and do. I had a plum tree for 4 or 5 years, and in the total, I only got one green plum off in it that never ripened. It's a nice enough tree to look at, but why I planted it was to be able to get plums that I could eat. When God is gently snipping things out of our lives, it's for our own benefit. Verse 4, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just like a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Sometimes, when I get overzealous picking raspberries, I accidentally pull the whole branch off. Has anybody ever had that happen? Whenever this happens, I groan inwardly, if not outwardly. Because whatever unripe fruit that was still on the branch will now die. If the branch does not remain connected to the plant, I will not get any berries. If we do not remain connected to Jesus, we will not have lasting spiritual fruit in our lives. John 15:5 says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." The idea of abiding in Christ is to remain, being steadfast through thick and thin, in good times and hard, come what may. We hang on for dear life as we're fully committed. I love the text in John 6:66-68, where things are starting to get tough, and many of Jesus' disciples started falling like flies, deserting him. Jesus then turns to the 12, and he says, "Do you guys want to leave too?" And Peter speaks up and says, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Abiding means we will hang on in there when others are looking for some new or chasing down the latest fad. In the last part of the verse, Jesus says, "Apart from him, we can do nothing." Do we really believe that? Apart from him, we can do nothing. If we did, we'd probably be a more humble people, acknowledging that all we have has come from the mercy and the grace of God, and a response to others would probably be a little more gentle. Verse 6, "Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." When we get full of ourselves, thinking we could do it on our own, there's very little value left. We're like dried up stick that's only use is to fuel the fire. Hopefully we don't get to the end of our lives before we recognize such pursuits are futile. 90-year-old California woman. She has donated 200 pints of blood, 25 gallons. She started 55 years earlier. Margaret Delfino of Bakersfield, a great-grandmother, said she briefly stopped donating when she had ovarian cancer, but she started giving blood again 5 years later when her doctors declared her cancer-free. Delfino says she brings her family to donate with her. She'd like to increase the number of people in her area who give blood. To think in my country, only 3% give blood when there are so many who are able to donate. It can be the difference between life and death for some. This grandmother gives sacrificially to serve others in the same way Jesus sacrifices for us, and he calls us to do the same. As we abide in Christ, we can love others the way Christ loves us. John 15, 7, 11. We're affirmed that we will experience joy as we abide in Christ. Okay, not trying to be completely sarcastic, but who has too much joy in their lives? Emily, I see that hand. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. What? Ask for whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. I don't understand. Have you ever asked or prayed for something that has never happened or has not been answered the way that you wanted? Me too. But in this verse, Jesus seems to say, we can ask whatever we want and it'll happen. In this verse, it is easy to skip over the part, and my word abides in you. We sometimes want things because we want them, and they're anything but God-initiated. God, let me win $1 million and have my enemy's house fall on their head. It is good that God does not answer everything that we ask for. We change our minds so often. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was in utter anguish, and this is what he prayed. Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. What was the cup he was asking to be removed, if it was possible? The Via Dolorosa, the path of sorrows, the way of suffering. His death on the cross and all that would mean, all the weight of humanity hanging on Jesus. Where would you and I be if Jesus would have not done the Father's will and died in our place? It's a good practice to pray, not my will, God, but your will be done in me, through me, around me, in fact, everywhere. A great thing to do is to pray the scriptures back to God because we know they're his will. John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. When I work with my raspberry plants in the fall and the spring, there's always much anticipation when berry season comes. Just ask Ezra. This is what I've worked so hard for. There's an end goal to the work Christ is doing in our lives together. God prunes us and waters us and lets us have sunshine so we can bear fruit. Some of this fruit Paul mentions is in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these. These are the kind of things, patience, joy, and self-control, that I want to be evident in my life. And if people can see the differences in our lives day in and day out, they'll want to encounter the risen Savior for themselves. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, I've loved you. Abide in my love. And how do we remain or abide in the love Jesus has for us? It answers it in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. God calls us to be obedient to his commands, which we find throughout the Bible. It is in a loving relationship with God the Father and the Son that we're transformed and changed. We've been welcomed into this community that the Trinity deeply shares together. John 15:11. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. God longs to give each of us a joy that is lasting and can surpass all the hardships and disappointments we walk through in this life. All other joy will be temporary because it's based on circumstances. But the joy that God wants to fill us with does not change because it's based on a relationship with God, and He does not change. When I was in grade 3, there was a girl in my class that did not like ice cream. At the time, I was sure she was from a different planet. Fast forward about 25 years, Carrie and I are living in Calgary, and one day Dairy Queen drops off a 1-liter container, pail for ice cream. Inside a card says, we can get the pail filled for $1. Now, you probably guessed it. It was a promotional event. But what was crazy was the card never expired. So whenever we had friends over in town, we'd get a liter of soft ice cream from Dairy Queen, make chocolate sauce, buy Scorpits, and have a party. I want you to know that this brought incredible joy to my life. And I was very sad when we moved to Revelstoke and there was no Dairy Queen to use my card there. The problem with my joy was that it often disappeared once all the ice cream was gone. My ice cream joy was temporary. The great news that God wants to give each one of us is lasting and goes far beyond circumstances and our ice cream availability. Jesus uses the agriculture metaphor of a vine and branches to help his listeners understand the kind of relationship that we could have with him and what the results would look like if we bought in wholeheartedly. Most of us are reluctant to put our money down or to commit to something if we've not seen the final product, what it would look like. There have been many prototype cars that have been made and shown in futuristic car shows that never end up being driven on the road. In this passage, Jesus is not just asking us to surrender our lives and follow him. He explains what the end result will look like. The Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. And we have the opportunity to be the branches. I know, you've always dreamed about being a branch ever since you were little. But there is more. There is always more when Jesus is involved. Jesus declares, I am. He is declaring he is God Almighty. There's nothing that is an obstacle for God. Everything becomes possible through Jesus. Because of being directly connected to God spiritually and by following his commands, the most wonderful fruit will result in our lives. It's the kind of mouth-watering fruit that everyone longs to taste. This gentleness, goodness, kindness, and peace are just a byproduct of hanging out with Jesus, the great I am. We cannot make it without Jesus. Abiding in Christ is like being stuck to a piece of Velcro. Wherever he goes, whatever he cares about, whoever he chooses to love, we're right there with him. It matters that we settle in our hearts and our minds that Jesus is God and then to act accordingly. This is more than just believing the right things. It actually needs to make a profound difference in our lives. We should be a people who can't get enough of being with Jesus, reading the Bible to understand what he is calling us to, giving us wisdom in our decision making, having an open communication with God by praying and singing and expressing gratitude and thanksgiving to him. We are so connected to the vine, which is Jesus. We begin to learn how to interact toward each other by spending time with God. We are forgiving like he is forgiving, serving others instead of always simply serving ourselves, giving without expecting anything in return, delighting in others, not comparing with them, with ourselves. We all like to be loved for who we are. Only God can give us this kind of love that is genuine. And as people journey through life with us, God's church, we will exhibit a joy that can only be found in a relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, sometimes it's not easy being a branch, especially in the pruning times in our lives. But today we want to submit to the things you're doing in us. Help us to have lives that are filled with your intangible fruit, where we can know joy and express your joy in all the seasons of life. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light. Darkness tries to hide and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! We'll see how great is our God. In age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning at the end. Beginning at the end, the Godhead three in one, and Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great God, sing with me, how great is our God. Don't you see how great is our God. Name above all sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart sing, how great is our God. with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
This morning we're going to celebrate communion. So I have a couple instructions first. We have bread, gluten-free bread, juice on either side. And you can basically come up, receive the elements, return to your seat, and then we'll partake together. This morning, in light of the text that we read, and in light of what Pastor Lewis preached, I want to kind of recount a conversation for you. And a theologian tells this story about Clarence Jordan, who is the founder of Koinonia Farms, which was an interracial Christian farming community. And it was designed to look like the Book of Acts. And I want you to keep in mind as I read this that this is just before the civil rights movement really takes off in the U.S. So one day, Clarence asked his brother Robert, who was a lawyer and an eventual state senator, if he would represent Koinonia Farms in their legal battles, because this idea of communal interracial living was so controversial at the time. So this is how the conversation went. "Clarence, I can't represent you. You know my political aspirations. If I represented you, I might lose my job, my house, everything that I have. We might lose everything too, Bob. But it's different for you guys, Clarence. Why is it different? I remember it seems to me that you and I joined the same church as boys. I expect when we came forward, the preacher asked me and you the same questions. He asked me, 'Do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior?' And I said, 'Yes.' What did you say?" "I follow Jesus, Clarence, but only up until a point." "Could that point by any chance be the cross, Robert?" "That's right. I follow him to the cross, but not on it. I'm not getting myself crucified." "Then I don't believe you're a disciple, Bob. You're an admirer of Jesus, but not a disciple. I think you ought to go back to the church you belong to and tell them you're only an admirer." I tell that story because I hope it kind of illustrates what it is we do here. We want to follow Jesus wherever he leads. We don't want to simply be admirers, allowing our politics or our social status or our careers to dictate the boundaries of following Jesus. So with that, we come to this table to follow him, to become like him, to encounter him, and to love him. So all of you who desire to follow, to become like, and to love Jesus, come to his table. It is not I who invite you, but him. So please come forward and receive the bread and the juice at this time. Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Christ's body broken for you. Let's partake of the bread together. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. You are our bread of life, Jesus. Amen. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And we say, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Christ's blood shed for you. Let's partake together." We thank you, Jesus, for your death and resurrection. We place our hope in you alone. We follow you at the cost of everything. We proclaim you as Lord, and we expectantly await your return. By the power of the Spirit, amen. On the first Sunday of every month, we do a benevolent offering. The people will come around at this time to collect it. The peace of Christ be with you all.
I have a couple announcements, a benediction. We'll sing one more song and you'll be dismissed. Just some reminders this week on Wednesday for those who are part of the music teams or would like to be more interested in knowing what happens with the music teams. They're going to have a praying sing night. That's Wednesday at 7. On the Thursday at 6:30, it's movie night again, and there's popcorn for those of you who like popcorn. As well, if you want prayer today, there'll be somebody in the back corner that will pray for you. Have you ever gone through a hard time in your life? You wonder, is this ever going to end? I don't know any other time where Jesus' joy and peace is clear. It's the only thing that we're going to have, the difficulty that is going to hold us. Is his presence. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that this lasting joy can only come through Jesus. Amen.
Please stand if you're willing and able for our last song.
I know he's rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sins, and I believe. I believe. By shame he's taken away. By pain he's healed his name, and I believe. I believe. your banner. As my Lord has conquered the grave, my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. He's rescued my soul, and his blood has covered my sins. And I believe my shame he's taken away, and my pain he's healed in his name. I believe raise a banner, as my Lord has conquered the grave. My Redeemer lives. You lift my burden. With you, I'm dancing on this mountain top to see your kingdom come. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives.